Amen. Thank you, Brother Abernathy. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and go to Psalm, the book of Psalms there. Psalm 127. 127, if you would. And I appreciate all you men that raise your hand, able to be out there. We'll see you over there. 545. And I'm not sure if you lost your spectacles. These are glasses. They do look like they got some prescription to them, because they're not just magnifying glasses, but they're right up here. If you lost them, come and get them at the end of the service, if you would. We'd love for you to have them. Psalm 127. Tonight, I want to speak to our families, and maybe raise your family. You feel like, preacher, this ain't going to hit everybody. I believe that it's good for us. The strong families build strong churches. Strong families build strong nations. I believe that we've lost that principle and left it behind. When you take, and again, there are rules, just building rules that of strength and what holds things together and what holds it up in this world. And I do believe that we've, if we took the same principles that have torn down the home and we just tried to muck around with architecture, the architects would throw their hands up and they'd scream and they'd kick. We'd have bridges crashing down all around the country. Nobody will do that if we took the same principles that they take and say, well, if I just say, a man can be anything he wants to be. No, he's a man. All right. And again, marriage, when we talk about that, we shouldn't have to define it in this age as a natural born man and a natural born woman. But we live in that day and age, and it's not that we hate anyone when we say that. I'll be honest with you, the people that I'd love to preach the same message to and share the gospel with are people who do not know and have been taught that not a natural born man. Listen, there are people that are warped in this world because people taught them that stuff. They grew up in a place, in a home, in a world that lacked the Bible, lacked a teacher. And according to the scripture, all of those things would be summed up according to the scripture as there's no fear of God in the home. Listen, America stopped fearing God a long time ago. It isn't until planes hit tall buildings in New York City that our country decides to fear the Lord again. And it doesn't last all that long. We got to come back to the place where as a home, and I want to show you some things that are super familiar, but I want to just remind us again of strong things in our homes and in our lives. And you say, well, I've raised my kids. Well, remind your kids. Remind your grandkids. It's good for it to be echoed through your kids and your grandkids, and over again, the Bible speaks to this, and I think it's important for us. Let's pray tonight. I want to preach a message. It's a long title, but accepting that the Lord must build the house. Accepting the fact that the Lord must build the house. We're not the builders. He's the builder. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I pray now that someone would be helped listening tonight. Someone would be helped in the future at watching or listening to the Word of God preach. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us. Lord, help this night not pass, that one of us in this building take these truths and set them in our heart and put them to practice in our lives and in our homes, that our home would be better for it, that we might be blessed because of it. Lord, help our church to live in such a way that we'd have a strong church because we have strong families, because we've heeded the Word of God. God, I pray if there's someone that made their way into here tonight that does not know Christ, Lord, I pray that tonight that they would put their faith and trust in the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 127, these are songs and they're sung. And again, there's nothing better than singing families. Amen. There's nothing like family harmony. And it's not just on the platform, but it's best served in the home when the home has harmony. And so here, I think it's fitting that they use songs for the family to be able to remember in rhythm. And in Psalm 127, I want to try to do this in a hurry, and it may seem hurry, but that's because I'm going to 128 too. All right, so All of you just got scared, but buckle up. We're all right, okay? Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I think it's impossible for us to read the chapter and not to realize that he's not just talking about homes, but he's talking about nations. He's talking about families. He's talking about people having children, and he defines some things. And first and foremost, he defines for us that God, except the Lord build the house, you're laboring in vain. So let's expect and say tonight that if we're going to build a godly home and we're going to have what God wants us to have, we're going to have to build it on the truths, and God is going to have to build the home, and it's going to be work. It's going to be labor. It isn't going to come easy. All of us, most of us, you know why we know it's not going to come easy? Because they're our DNA. All right? Don't forget the kind of sinner you used to be, still are, and thank God you're saved by the grace of God and you have a power that you never had before. But let me just tell you, how were you before you got saved? How were you before you know as much of the Word of God and God worked in you all these years? So what are you dealing with in your children? But wouldn't it be a shame to spend all the time that you could raising your kids and labor in vain? Can you imagine coming to this life and understanding in your home that you could raise a child and raise a family and do that in vain? That, in other words, I did it and it come to naught. It was just vanity. It was vain. Again, we talk about playing church. Wouldn't it be a shame to play family? To pretend and come to the end of your life and realize that, listen, there's no do-overs with your family. There's no do-overs with this life. And for all of us, we realize that it's building our foundation. Again, who are we going to build on? The Bible says we've got to build on that foundation that is Jesus Christ. But he's the builder. He's got order set to everything. And a lot of times a builder, when we talk about a builder, the builder don't always lay the block. He's the one that oversees the block layer. A lot of times God will let you lay the blocks in your family. He just tells you how they're supposed to be stacked. He's going to tell you how tempered the mortar has to be. When he says, no, that mortar ain't strong enough, pour it out. It ain't got enough sand in it. It ain't got enough concrete in it. Do you know we, in our lives, sometimes we water things down. Do you know if you water mortar down too much, the building ain't going to hold up? Oh, but we can stretch it. We laid it in there thin like butter, boy. We just laid a thin layer. No, we got, I mean, listen, my grandfather was a mason, and I'm going to tell you, I mean, he could tell you and walk up on a building been laid a long time, and he could tell you what was wrong with it because he was a mason. He'd say, look at that. They didn't put enough mortar in there. And it wasn't because it was just, again, you ever seen anybody lay tile and they don't lay no gaps in it? No expansion? Then you go back in there and the tiles are all busted up, and you say, it wasn't a tile man that laid this. Folks, you know, most of the time, if we're not careful, God lays order in these things, and we don't have to be perfect about these things. We've got to get God's hand in our lives and God to shape and mold. We got to measure with his tape measure. We got to cut with his saw. We got to do it the way God wants us to do it, and if we're not careful, we'll do it the way we've been taught. What happens if the way you was taught was wrong? Well, I wasn't raised in church, okay? I know people that were raised in church and did it all wrong because they thought they knew how to do it. Do you know there are some people that I've watched raise a great family, and because, listen, by the way, they were not raised in church, and they knew and accepted at the beginning, they had no clue and didn't know how to do it. And they just besought God and accepted that he had to build the home, and they trusted him. By the way, it's called fearing the Lord, right? They just feared God enough to let him build it, to let God do it. God, I don't want to make one move without you setting order, you setting a step, you doing what wants to do. I don't want to labor here too much longer, but I want you to see what a shame it would be if it was in vain. In verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early. Isn't that what daddy does? Rise up early, sit up late. Mama, you sit up late when they're sick. Watch over them and take care of them. See, that's what the Bible is saying. It knows what's going to happen. God looks down from heaven. He sees what's going on in your home and how you take care of your kids and you love them. But it don't matter if we rise up early and go to work and we sit up late and watch over them while they listen. That doesn't make a good daddy or godly mama. It says to eat. Why? Just to eat the bread of sorrows? For so he giveth his beloved sleep. I'm just going to tell you, if you're not careful and you don't let God build the house, what will happen is you'll have risen up early and thought you were doing what you were supposed to do. Daddy's supposed to bring home the bacon. You ought to bring home a lot more than bacon. And the bread ought not just be a loaf of bread. It ought not just be money. Daddy ought to bring home the leadership of the Word of God into the home. He ought to be a man of God, not a preacher. He ought to be a man that loves God and teaches children and fears God. You say, preacher, why are you getting after this? I'm just telling you, we live in a day and age that sometimes when we think these, everybody knows this, everybody don't know it. And if they do, they need to be reminded of it, because we get busy getting up early and staying up late, and all of a sudden we're going to come to an age where, what? We eat the bread of sorrows. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm talking about when I've raised my kids and I thought I did it right, and I watched my kids do it wrong. And I'm eating the bread of sorrows. Listen, he says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Do you know the blessed man, the one that lets God build the house, is a man that's going to, listen, if God is building the house, then God is staying up and watching everything, ain't he? There's no need of him and me sitting up and worrying. You know, I don't have to worry about how, if I raise my home and I do the work that God tells me to do, and it's ordered by the Lord, and I teach my kids to fear God. Listen, every one of us know that children, when they become adults, will make their own choice. You can't always put that on mom and dad. You can do everything and do everything ordered exactly the way it is, and they will make. But again, the Bible says when they're old, they will not depart from it. And we can claim that promise, but it don't hurt the fact. Listen, I'm not saying that when our kids are out and they're away from home and they're not doing right and they're being the prodigal, that we don't stay up late and worry about it. I'm just saying that for us, the Bible says that if we do it right, invest in it the right way, I'm not going to lose sleep over that. I don't have to stay up all night worrying about it. I did everything I could. I tried my best to let the Word of God and God build my home. I invested in them. You say, preacher, is that going to give me any consolation? Listen, I'd say it's a lot better consolation than having a listen, there is regret when your kids make wrong decisions. But it ain't like regret of you making wrong decisions and you taught your kids to do that too. It ain't the same regrets. It ain't the same heartache. It's not the same thing keeping you up at night. Look what he says, lo. If we're going to realize this, he says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Do you know we like this and we like to say this, but you know that heritage, what that means? It means you don't own them kids. Guess who owns them? The Lord. They're on loan to you. You're a steward. Every Sunday school teacher, every mom, dad, every one of us ought to realize that we're just a steward in this life of the things that God has blessed us with. It's easy for us to know that about a car, about a house, I mean about a business, all these different things, our money, we can grasp that, but we can't grab it, that DNA that God allowed to come through me and my wife. Or an adopted child, by the way, however you want to look at it, all the way through that is a gift from God. And it's not mine. It's God's stewardship in my life. Now, we don't like that. As God's people, we like to tell the state they're mine. And listen, they are ours. They are our possession here on earth. But even the way God says it, listen, we're just stewards. If I could say, we got custody. You don't. How about this? Put it in this perspective. The Lord tries to help us understand it. They came from Him. And lo, down here with us, children are a heritage of the Lord. Do you think you're going to own them forever? Or were they just given to you for a time period? All of us are going back where? To God. For you to invest in and for you to teach them the fear of the Lord. He goes on, he says, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. For all of us, we don't always think about it. You go back to Genesis 3:15, and God allowed, in simplicity, the redemption of the human race to come through the one who was deceived and accepted the wrong thing in Eve. But He let her have a reward through her childbirth that God would bring a son into the world. Now, I didn't bring it through Eve. That was Cain. He wasn't a redeemer. He was a demon. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, but she thought, you know, I got a man-child from the Lord. You can look throughout the Scripture and realize all that, but Jesus was the one that was the promised seed. He was the one that was going to come. He was the one that was going to come through the womb of the woman. And again, the reward for all, listen, can I just tell you, the reward for every child is to do what Jesus asked us to do. Really, if we contemplate true reward, what's it going to be? I mean, one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus. We're going to get it from Jesus. And I'll just say this, but I can tell you, you know, child, grandbaby, there ain't nothing. There has not been anything ever so precious or rewarding to my wife than to watch her give birth to one of my children and then mama hold that baby after she went through that travail. We're clicking not too far from Mother's Day. I just want you to know, I'm just going to tell you, the risk and reward there is great, is it not? I remember my mama telling me, she tried to drill it into me. I went through the jaws of death for you to bring you into this world. You ask her, 24 hours of labor. Amen. But I was worth it. Anyway, so we kid around about all that, but I'm just going to tell you, you know, there's not one mama that at the end of that thing, and I mean all that travail, says, don't bring that baby over here. Let me see that baby. Let me hold that baby. For all of us, we've got to come to that. We realize that the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I'll just say this, but you know, children in general, this is building to a place of fighting. Do you know that we're always building and battling in this life? And that's not just in the church house, that's in the family. Constantly fighting and building and battling. And so children in our homes, we're constantly building and battling. And what are you teaching your kids to fight for? I'm just going to tell you, Brother Steve, we always talk about it, and Brother Steve says, there's certain hills I ain't going to die on. But there are some hills that I've taught my kids, I will plant my flag and I will die on that hill if that's what needs to happen. And I've taught my kids that. And listen, I'm proud to say that my kids, I believe my kids would come and stand with me. They'd meet the enemy in the gate, not just for country, but for God, family, and country. And sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we get those things out of order, and we ought to stand and plant our flag and die for this book. Do you know there's a bunch of people right now? I don't know whether they've named a new pope or whatever. The old one died, right? And, you know, you say, well, all papal secession. I'm telling you over there, them jokers, man, they're over there fighting to try to figure out and pushing for rank and trying to get to see who's going to be it. And I'm just going to tell you, I wouldn't want to be in that. I want to be 100 miles from that. But they don't teach you die for this. You die for their church. You don't die for any book. That's the word of God. None of them would die for Jesus. They'd die for the church. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we got to come to the place where we realize what we're fighting for. Because if we're not careful, you'll have people ready to die for the name Baptist. Do you know we ain't always been named Baptist? Now, I'm proud to be a Baptist. It defines in this age our doctrine. And I'll die for doctrine. That's a place I'll plant the flag. And listen, and Big B Baptist just defines what I'm standing on and what I'm standing for. The Word of God. What we believe. Do you know you wouldn't be the first one? I wouldn't be the first one that died for doctrine. Most of the time, we're not the ones. And it says what? What's it say there? Look at it. It says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. That means we got some numbers on our side. Right, Brother Betancourt? Amen. Happy is the man that hath a quiver full of them, that they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having numbers. God told us to be fruitful and multiply. God has explained it to us, and at the same time, listen, wouldn't it be a shame if the world was doing what God said, but we weren't? And we're not just supposed to multiply ourselves as a soul winner, but in the home. Listen, you as a soul winner and even a disciple or at church, you only get a few hours a week. Home is a training ground. It's intense discipleship of young people in fearing the Lord. Now you say, preacher, I thought you said you were getting to the next chapter. See, you hung me up in chapter 27, 127. So look at chapter 128 with me. And again, so if I'm going to accept the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. But how do we build it? How do we do that? He lays it out in chapter 128. He says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. I want you to just say, we ought to teach our children to respect. We ought to teach our children to respect God's order and his authority. We live in a day and age where children don't recognize any authority. And that's because their parents are living in a way and they don't recognize any authority. Be careful destroying authorities in your children's lives. You ought to lift God up. You ought to lift the things of God up. You ought to lift the man of God up, because all those people are here to serve and to help you. Listen, the government ought to have a place. You ought to teach your kids that a policeman is somebody that you ought to honor. He's a man of authority. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, you ought not be like the world. The world has degraded those, and we've now taken everybody and made them a first responder. Okay? But there are only a few groups of people who, when it's burning down or it's blowing up, run into it instead of running away. There's a ton of people that react after that first phase of what we used to call first responders. I'm not trying to lessen anybody. I'm just saying we've lumped a lot of things into first responders. And you know why we've done that? Like everything else, it was over money. There was a lot more grants and things. If you can make everybody under these titles first responders, then we can just go ahead and pay them too. And we don't have to use money out of this area. You say, preacher, why are you getting off on this? Because I think it's important for us to realize that there are things in our lives that people we ought to respect. We ought to teach our children respect. Your children ought to hear you. Listen, your children should begin. I'm proud when my children, when I hear my children and I'm holding the door for somebody and they've heard just a few people down that somebody served our country. Before I can get it out of my mouth now, my children will say, thank you for serving our country. We ought to teach our children to respect not just their elders, but different phases of people that have done things that are worth respect. But most of all, how could we live this life and not teach our kids to fear the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, understanding. It's so many different things. And listen, I said to my Sunday school class today, do you know in the book of Proverbs, there are 9 different things that it says for the Lord, fear the Lord. They directly are coupled to the
9 fruits of the Spirit. You can't have the fruits of the Spirit without fearing the Lord. It's an impossibility for you to not, if you don't fear the Lord, you cannot be full of the Spirit of God and produce the fruits of the Spirit. For all of us, we ought to produce the fruits of the Spirit in our home and teach our kids to respect and honor the Lord and be able to have those show up in their own lives as well. So number one, teach your children, teach your home to respect the respect for God's order and authority. Number two, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Teach your kids to work. You may have to teach yourself before you can teach them. But it'd be a good thing for you to learn too. Amen. You say, I can't believe you'd say that. You've offended me. Good. I'd rather you be offended and get after it than you be ignorant that you don't work. We ought to teach good work ethics. One of the blessings of my life is, again, we ought to do that in the home, and it ought to show up at church. It ought to show up in the things we do. We shouldn't have to teach people how to serve and take care of things in there when we serve them ladies out. It ought to be something they learned at home. Picking things up. You say, that's woman's work. No, it's service. That's what they call it. And if you got 2 good hands and 2 good feet and it's on the table, please, you teach your young people that they can transport it to the kitchen too. Mom ain't the only one that can take it there. It ain't going to break them to pick up their plate and walk it in there. You say, what would you do if your kids leave the table? There's nothing wrong with grabbing them right by the ear and dragging them in there and say, whose plate is that? Now they know by that time whose plate it was. There's no need for them to answer. They just need to pick it up and take it where it's supposed to go. You say, you wouldn't do that. You see how big my ears are? I had to learn that too. They didn't get that. I didn't come out this way. They drugged me around by these jokers. Amen. You say, preacher, that's funny. Yeah, but we ought to teach our kids to work. Don't you think the fear of the Lord is understanding that God gave us the ability to work and we ought to work? If building the house is labor, then we need to teach them to work because they're going to have to work at their family and their home. Amen. Number three, look at number three. He says in verse 3, and I think this is important. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. This is specifically speaking, it says thy wife, thy children. So who's it speaking to? The husband. So guess who else should be at the table when everybody's eating? The husband. Don't expect anybody else to be in your home and sitting at the table teaching your kids the things that you ought to teach them. By the way, if another man did show up at your house at dinner time, you'd be upset about it. So maybe the man of the house ought to show up and be there. You say, well, they won't wait for me. Who runs the joint? Who's the man? Amen. I'll amen myself if the rest of you won't bow up. Listen, I believe it's important for us to understand that the family altar most of the time happened at the table. After they broke bread and they spent time together and they stayed there for a little while before they went. Most of the time, the old family, before all this electric and TV business and everything that stole our time away from our families, bed was the next thing that happened. They'd sit there and spend some time together, and then they'd say their prayer together, have time around the Bible, and then they'd send their kids to bed. Now, I'm not ready to send us back into candle days and to shut down, but listen, I'll be honest with you, it might be better for your home. Duke Energy will come knocking and wonder what's happening at your place. But for all of us, we do realize that the home in that kitchen table, even the Bible just talks about how wonderful it is. It says that they're like olive plants around thy table. You know what these plants, listen, vines and plants, you know what they have to be? Listen, even from the first man, He had to tend the garden. Who's tending your garden? I'm talking to you, men. Who's tending to the tender plants in your home? Your wife, your children. Who's tending to them? Who's watering it? Who's clipping the weeds? Who's clipping them when they get too big for their britches? Amen. That ought to be daddy. That ain't mom's job. Amen. He goes on and he says, behold, that thus shall a man be blessed that feareth the Lord. We don't always do those things because even, said daddy, can I just tell you, pretty much that statement there means you'd do that if you feared God. You say, I can't be home every night. I'm not saying that you have to be home every night. Right? I'm just saying, wouldn't it be a great life if you decided what you had priorities wise? You know, most of my life, I've not worked a job that paid the best. I chose the job that allowed me to do the things that were most important to me. And then we lived off of what we made there. And we live in a day and age that sometimes money is the most important thing to us. Sometimes it's not always the best thing. Listen, Christian education, I know that, thank God for the vouchers and things so people can, but listen, it has lessened what we think of Christian education. Because we used to pay for it, and that means we worked towards it, right? I mean, we had to give to it, and we had to make it a priority in our lives. And I'm not saying it's been cheapened because of what's going on, but we ought to have a fear and a reverence of the Lord and understand how important it is to raise your kids and to teach them right. I'll say this. He says, behold, that means he's getting our attention. He's talking to daddies, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. You can't sit around the table and teach your kids to fear the Lord if you don't fear God. If you don't have that beginning of knowledge and wisdom and understanding, how are you ever going to give it to your kids? And you say, preacher, you're getting after me. I'm not trying to. I just want you to understand how important it is. From daddy, mommy, and the children, all the whole home has to have a head, and God set that in order. Things cannot be out of order, and the kids be raised exactly the way God planned them to. Now, I'm just going to tell you, God is able. When things get all mixed up and out and daddy leaves and mama's the only one there, do you know that God can do some things in that home and he can, honor that home and do it right? But most of the time, if you'll go through their lives, you'll say they had a youth pastor. They had a spiritual daddy that they locked onto and followed. He didn't always come home for dinner. But listen, when it came down to it, they knew he feared the Lord and they followed him. And when push came to shove with mama, she'd say, I don't know how to raise this boy, and I need your help. And then when he said, this is what you ought to do, even though it wasn't her husband, it was a spiritual leader, maybe the pastor, youth pastor, somebody, she'd say, all right, if that's what you think we ought to do, that's what we're doing. And had some trust and backbone and stood with the preacher or somebody that feared the Lord and then went that way, even sometimes where it hurt her heart to do it because she thought maybe we're being a little too hard. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, we have an epidemic of parents thinking kids are perfect. Let me break you some reality to you. They ain't even close. Not even close. Listen, sometimes when we put them on camera and we can show you that they did it, you still don't believe it. Wake up and smell the digital video. You say, well, preacher, we got cameras. You ain't perfect. No, mama's not perfect. Dad's not perfect. The principal, the pastor, nobody's absolutely perfect. There's one perfect, and he's the person we ought to fear. And we all get fear of the Lord just right. You know what? We can all get in line and get in order with the Lord. Look at what he says here. He goes on and he says, the Lord, in verse 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of it, Jerusalem, all the days of thy life. Do you know when families get right, And family after family, especially here, these are the Jews, and they've been setting the law, and they're setting the order, and they do right. When each individual family does right, the nation is right. You get to watch how God does something for a whole nation because you're teaching good moral traits in the home. People, families fear the Lord. The nation does what? They fear the Lord. He says, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Wouldn't it be great? Listen, I'm just going to tell you. I that wasn't born out of this, but I'm thankful. I had children in my youth. My oldest child has had 2 children. It's a blessing. But you know what I'm already worried about? Teaching that kid to fear the Lord. I said to a couple people today, I really believe the kid is a genius, and not just because he's my grandkid, but he has like total recall of everything. He knows everywhere he's been. He's driving down a road and he's telling me that's where we went and did this. And I'm like, this kid's 2. I didn't remember that until he said it. You say, what are you trying to get at, preacher? Listen, sometimes we don't give them credit for what they got. You know, the men who translated this Bible had a full handle of Hebrew before they were 5. Do you know a lot of times we don't even start teaching our kids? We want to teach them goo-goo and gaga instead of instilling them at a young age to fear the Lord. How much Bible could your kid memorize if you started right when they began to talk? We're so worried about Dr. Spock and everything else that's out there on the internet. We don't start early teaching them the things of God. Listen, tonight I'm burdened because I realize, but listen, if we were to raise respectful, reverent generations of children, it would change our nation. Jerusalem was a regional thing. You know, in Haines City, if we teach our kids right and our families change, we'll change Haines City and the area that we're in. But they go from Jerusalem to Israel. And if we do that generation after generation, it'll change our country. You want to have a revival? Start it in your home. You have revival. And then start it in your home. And watch how it builds. How it spreads. You say, preacher, why is this important? Because the devil's attacking the home. He has more tools than he ever has. But you have the greatest tool. You have the one that has the most power. The Spirit of God that indwells you is more powerful than any spirit of Antichrist, anything that the devil has to offer, if we use it. The problem is we often are powerless because we're not yielded. We don't have the fear of the Lord. We're not walking in the Spirit. Listen, tonight the invitation is this. Let's pray for our families, our grandkids, our nation. Let's fear the Lord again. Listen, I don't know where you are tonight, but listen, if you've got in the happenstance about your own personal walk with God, your own personal fear of God, listen, we ought to get back to fearing the Lord. That's the start. God, you know what? I've just been kind of cruising. The Christian life doesn't have autopilot. The Christian life doesn't have cruise control. It's work. You got to stay circumspect. I mean, paying attention to what's going on. And listen, we ought to come to God and say, God, I've been on cruise control too long. God, help me. Help me to get back in the way that I know is right. Help me to do what I'm supposed to do in my family. Help me to help others. Help me to live as a Sunday school teacher, worker on the bus, whatever it is, to fear the Lord and to show people that come into my realm the fear of the Lord. It ought to be something. Listen, I like the idea of standing in the gates, right? Standing against the enemy with all our kids. But listen, the idea is, listen, it'll change. We don't have to stand in the gates against the enemy if we convert the enemy. If all the families have been affected because we had fear of the Lord and we witness and we see people converted, listen, the enemy gets smaller and smaller and they're on our side because God has changed their hearts. Listen, it goes from the end of chapter 27 to war and standing in the gates to the end of chapter 28 when you raise your family right to peace. What would you rather have? A time of peace for your children's children or a time of war? Listen, and all of that is perpetrated by who's building the house. Are you building the house your way? The way you've been raised, or are you doing it God's way, His way, the Bible way? Tonight, the invitation is for us as families, for people, daddies, husbands, children. Let's get back to fearing the Lord and walking with Him. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, if He can build the house, listen, they're talking about the house, the physical home of family and children, but this, He talks about this as being the body, His temple. Listen, He says, except the Lord build the house. He makes it exclusive. He's the only builder. Do you know He's also exclusive about salvation? He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, you can't get to heaven any other way but putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you came here tonight trusting in your works or in baptism or in any other thing, tonight you ought to settle it. Fear the Lord enough to take Him at His word and realize that Jesus is the only way that a man can be saved. It's the only way that a woman can be saved. The only way that children can be saved, by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Would you stand to your feet tonight with me? Listen, don't wait for the musicians. If God spoke to your heart, would you step out? I'm going to pray tonight. But why don't we do business with God? No pretense. Just do business with the Lord. Dear God, I thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. God, I pray that You just be with the invitation. If there's one lost in here, Lord, I did not preach a hard salvation message tonight. But God, if there's somebody lost and on their way to hell, God, I pray that they'd come to Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only way. Help us to realize that the only builder, the only one that's really worth having built our home, is the Lord. God, I pray You'd help us to follow You. In Jesus' name, amen.